Julie, I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me today and to bring awareness of the importance of taking a break and taking a vacation. And I'm going to go ahead and say, no matter what the season is, right? No matter if it's in summer or when it is in the year, taking some time for yourself. So welcome. Thank you for joining me. And I'm just going to ask you, did you take a vacation yet?
What a good question. So unfortunately, no, I didn't get to take a vacation this summer in the traditional sense. I think a lot of folks are probably similarly, you know, stuck at home. I even got married and we didn't have a chance to take a honeymoon yet. So I've definitely been really thinking long and hard about the importance of taking breaks and vacations and things. And I'm looking forward to the December end of the semester. We're going to take a nice long staycation, vacation, rest, whatever we're going to call it. We're going to lean into it there. But I'm definitely feeling the lack of vacations. We used to visit family out in like another state, you know, and that was kind of like a vacation. I mean, yes and no, right? I mean, there's all the driving and all the other stuff. And, you know, maybe you can't do normal vacation kind of activities, but we still got to eat out. We still got to, you know, hang out with family and friends and stuff. But we did that a few times a year, right? And then we would always take like at least 1 week vacation somewhere, even if it was at home. We would always very intentionally kind of disconnect from our obligations and try to plan the fun stuff. You know, those are kind of the key elements, I think, to taking a true break or a rest or a vacation is really just the disconnecting piece and planning some fun in there. I don't know.
That's exactly where I was going, Julie. I wanted to redefine vacation because, you know, as I was preparing for a conversation today, that was one of the challenges that came, right? And I will be fully honest, I found myself in the group that was defining vacation as having to get away, if it's not a trip, basically, then it's not a vacation. Like that's where I was sitting on that definition of what a vacation is. And you just gave us slight sense of what a vacation really is. So help us redefine, help us look at that word vacation, that concept of taking a vacation, especially in the midst of a pandemic, right? Where we are literally going away and taking a trip was not an option, right? And it continues to not be an option in many places in the world. So help us redefine that idea of what taking a vacation really means.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I would love to just pack myself up and go for like a month to Europe. That would be delightful. So that would be like an epic vacation. But as you said, there's a lot of limitations, right? So I know that I'm incredibly privileged to be able to afford time off, to be able to afford travel, to be able to afford, you know, those kind of vacations. You know, some of them were bigger vacations, like 2 weeks in Scotland, and some of them were smaller, like a long weekend at a friend's house, right? So, you know, you don't necessarily have to pack all your bags and, you know, go live in Hawaii for a few weeks. But the real critical part is that it's about your mindset. I know this is going to sound very cheesy. People are like, no, it's just you buy your tickets and you go, right? But it's actually about your mindset, and you truly can vacation or take a break anywhere in your house, in, you know, your friend's place, if you go around the corner, whatever. There's lots of ways that you can bring the vacation mindset into your kind of current situation, particularly if you're unable to travel, whether for financial reasons or health reasons or, you know, whatever else could be out there right now. So it's really about the mindset of being disconnected from your like everyday obligations within reason, right? I mean, you still got to feed children if you have them, unless you've managed to offload them somewhere, right? Maybe that's part of your vacations. You're like, please go visit your, you know, your aunts and uncles or whatever. But you need to obviously still keep yourself safe and any dependents safe. But other than that, you're disconnected. And I'd argue there's a little bit of the like maybe exploration or adventure vibe. That's how I often approach vacation, just a little bit. But vacation is going to be different for everyone too. So I love to go explore new things. Like I like to try new stuff out, whether that's food, whether that's a library that I've passed, whether it's like, you know, look at those mountains, you know, whatever it is. I like to look and try and, you know, explore. Some people might be like, no, thanks. You can catch me in a lounge chair for the next 7 days, right? And they're just gonna, they're gonna snooze. So I say exploration is part of my vacation mindset. I'm curious if you ever thought about how you approach vacation.
You know, and the funny thing about this is, so again, because my idea of vacation was I have to go somewhere. I feel like my first real vacation was only about 4 years ago when I first had the opportunity to go to Cancun. And this is why, because we went to Cancun. So it was a place that I was going just for the sense of going for that purpose, right? So it was like, this is a real vacation. And I went there. I packed the schedule with explorations and we were out of the hotel for a very long, you know, we had to be up in the morning at 6 every day and so that we could make this and that. And it was a lot of fun, don't get me wrong. And I really, really enjoyed all of that. But I purposely did leave the last day before coming back just empty. And we were able to really relax and we were able to really, and that's when I realized that I needed to balance things a little bit better. So yes, I do like to go and explore and I do like to go and see certain things, but I need that time. I need that downtime. So I learned very quickly through that first experience that packing my schedule with fun activities was not necessarily a vacation per se, and that I needed a more balanced approach to it. But so I agree. I need a little activity, but I certainly do enjoy that just downtime and being able to relax, because here at home, I don't get to do much of that. Right. But that's one of the things that COVID-19 kind of brought, Julie, that, you know, one of the challenges, suddenly we merged everything into our homes and we were working, we were doing school, we were doing home life, everything just right there at home. And then this term of staycation came around, right? And we started hearing this word and kind of like, I personally was feeling like, how can I have an staycation? Like it just didn't feel right. So with those ideas that you just planted in our minds, right, of disconnecting, how can we approach that idea of staycation? How can we still give ourselves a break if we're not comfortable maybe, or if, you know, going and traveling, it's still not an option? How can we still achieve that goal of disconnecting and give ourselves that vacation or staycation, if we're going to call it that?
Yeah, this is a great, great question. Thank you for asking. I was going to talk about ways to kind of bring it into our lives if we couldn't get out for some reason. So, you know, first is that disconnect from our obligations, right? So you've got to uninstall the email apps on your phone. You've got to turn the computers off. You've got to kind of maybe do a little bit of prep work. I know that when I was taking classes myself, sometimes being able to take a vacation meant that I would have to work twice as hard, you know, the 2 weeks before so that I could have time off for a particular week because my schedule never, ever, ever lined up, you know, with all of my different obligations. So it was very hard for me to get a full week off. So maybe you need to stack some of your time in advance, right? Maybe you've got to do some things first and then turn your computer off or turn your phone off, turn off the email apps, whatever. This is going to make some people maybe a little unhappy, but I think it's hard to staycation if your house is not clean, because you're just going to be sitting there going, I should go, you know, tackle those dishes, or I should go, you know, clean up the bedroom, or, you know, whatever kind of things, or, you know, it's been a while since I've mopped or whatever. So making sure that part of your like prep work for your staycation or vacation includes those obligations as much as possible, right? So, you know, if you know that your house maybe needs a little bit of love, maybe you kind of do that prep work in advance, or the first part of your staycation, like the first couple hours, you just tackle some stuff to get it done. So as many of those boring everyday obligations you can pull out of the way, the better you will be prepared to be in the vacation mindset, right? I love that you said balance, because when I was younger, my vacation mindset was like, I'm on vacation, I am going to vacation, right? So I would plan stuff every day, like, you know, multiple things. And then, you know, where's the downtime? Where's the resting, right? So it really should be a sweet spot of, you know, an activity or two a day, maybe depending on the activities, and then time to just wander around or take it easy or lay on that lounge chair that we were talking about, whatever's kind of appropriate at your house. That could look like you start a Netflix marathon or something, right? You know, maybe, I know Lucifer, the last season just came out. Maybe you're catching up on that or something, but you really have to approach it with, I'm disconnected, right? I don't have to do things. Maybe I want to do some exploration, but I also need some downtime. So I encourage you to plan some activities. I'm sure you've done this before. You know, when you're driving around, you're like, oh, that place looks really cool. And it's like 5 minutes away from your house. And you're like, we should go there sometime. We should totally go there sometime. And then you're like, 8 years later, we still haven't been there, right? So that's something that my husband and I started doing last year during COVID-19 is we were like, you know, all those restaurants that we've passed and been like, we should go there. We should totally go there. And then never went there. So last year we were really intentional about trying out like new restaurants near us just for takeout, but it was like a fun little mini adventure, right? And it felt like a little kind of like secret adventure that we were taking together because we were going to try this new food. So we'd look up the menu, you know, we'd order and we'd get the food and then, you know, normally like eat at the dining room table. I know that sounds ridiculous, but we often don't eat at the dining room table, right? So like we made it like a little, you know, more intentional. Like you said, we were more intentional about the actions that we were taking.
And I really appreciate what you just said, Julie, because again, we have this idea of vacation being this grandiose time, this trip, and then we just don't do it. We just don't give ourselves that opportunity because maybe we don't have the time, maybe we don't have the money, maybe it's just difficult to do that. But if we're doing little things, like if just going to that small restaurant that we've said so many times that we're going to go to and haven't gone there yet, maybe that can be, you know, that break. Because I think the idea here, Julie, is the disconnect, like you said, is that taking that break. And is not the going somewhere, is not the getting physically away even. It's more of that mindset. It's more of that, you know, giving your brain and your spirit, I'm going to say, that break. And I think that's a good point of talking about, you know, the importance, right, for our mental health and for our physical health too, of giving ourselves those breaks, those vacations. No, we're not just saying this because we want you to, I don't know, start traveling, or we want to bring something else, because it can feel like another thing to do, right? If this is something that maybe you're saying, well, I just simply don't have the money right now. I don't have the time. I can't take vacation. I don't know. We can, it's easy for us to make all of the excuses out there not to take time for ourselves. But I want us to talk about the real importance of actually giving ourselves either that vacation, that staycation, if it's just like small breaks throughout the day. Julie, tell us the impact of doing this and bringing this into your lives.
Yeah. So I love that you said small breaks throughout the day, because that's important for our like everyday functioning, is that we need to have some quick little moments to ourselves, even if it's 30 seconds, 1 minute, 5 minute, 15, whatever you can kind of afford to give yourself. Those mindfulness check-ins that we've talked about before are really good ways to kind of assess, one, do I need a break? And two, how's this break going for me? But the problem is little breaks here and there don't actually give us a long enough time to totally rest and relax and reset. So it is important to give ourselves a half a day or a day or two or three or however many days you can give yourself. Because again, we know that it is a privilege to be able to take time off and, you know, avoid working those couple of days or whatever might be going on. We know that a lot of folks might be working shift work or something where it's really difficult to get time off. And so working to kind of stack your responsibilities as much as possible so you can give yourself those windows, I would say at least every 3 months, you need like one full vacation day for yourself, at least. Many people are going to have different needs and things, but you need at least one full day that's a vacation day for you. A lot of my friends are, you know, in like office kind of jobs, and many of them have told me they haven't taken like any vacation times since working, you know, through COVID-19, they're like, well, why would I? Like, I'm already home. I can work in my pajamas, right? I'll just turn my camera off if I don't feel good, right? So they're working even kind of past their high levels of stress or potentially burnout. A lot of us have been experiencing burnout in varying levels where we're exhausted physically, emotionally, right? You wake up and you're already kind of dreading work or already dreading school or dreading another day in your house, whatever, right? You maybe feel very jaded or disconnected from your peers, your friends, your family, your clients, your students, whoever you're kind of interacting with on a daily basis. I know that a lot of my friends have also expressed frustration at our fellow Americans with, you know, vaccination rates and like safety protocols and stuff. Like, you can feel very burnt out from everybody else's behavior, right? Especially if you make the mistake of watching the news, I feel like they just smack you in the face with all the stuff that's happening in the world. And it's really hard to disconnect and give yourself that time to rest and relax. Our stress levels have been higher than ever, right? They do national surveys and they look at stress levels, and it has been rising steadily over the last two decades. But as you can imagine, in the last 2 years, it has gone like, whoop, right? Really, really high. And that's not safe for our bodies or for our brains to maintain high levels of stress for a really long time. It burns out our systems. So it's really important that we get those downtime in.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was reading in 2019, like before the pandemic, 768 million vacation days had not been taken in that year, in that 1 year. And that's a huge number. I mean, that's years of vacation worth right there. And I'm thinking, I'm probably in that group of not taking the vacations, because I get it. It's difficult. It's, you know, so I guess to be really personal and really honest here, my dad, he lives in Arizona, and he has been trying to convince me to come see him for the longest time. He's like, just take a weekend, just take a weekend. You leave on a Thursday, you come back on a Sunday, I'll pay for your ticket. And if all you want to do is come and rest and sleep, that's all we'll do. We don't have to do anything else. So I get it. I have this offer on the table that's going to cost me nothing other than giving it myself my time, right? And making that commitment. And I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm finding all excuses to just not do it, to just not take it. Julie, some of the benefits, you know, that were really striking to me, you know, when it came to mental health about the importance of taking breaks was it helps you heal your body. That was one of the big benefits. And I want to talk about that because I don't think that it's not easy for me to understand how just resting can heal my body. I've always been, and Matt Trudell, my previous coworker here, he knew that very well. He was like, you're in pain and you're still going to the gym and you're still doing this. And you're still, he was like, you need to rest. So it's never been something that's intuitive for me. I've always been more on the, if it hurts, I just need to move a little more in this way until it really, really hurts and it goes away kind of thing, right? Like I feel like if I push myself more, then I'm going to get through that even better. I'm going to be stronger at the end. And I feel like a lot of us maybe are in that mentality where no pain, no gain, right? We have to push ourselves. Sleep is overrated. You have to be on that winner circle or whatever it is, right? Overachievers. Help us, please, to really, you know, understand the importance of, and the reason, you know, I mean, I've been learning a lot, right? And how actually taking a vacation, taking that break is going to help us heal our mind and maybe also increase our productivity.
Yeah. So I love that you threw that in there at the end. It's like a little carrot for the overachievers, right? If you rest, you'll do more work later. It is true, but don't hang on to that as your only reason to rest. So I have so much to share here. And I just want to say, I am also a type A perfectionist overdoer kind of person. And it has taken me years and years and years to get to the point where I am finally like, no, Julie, you don't have to work 70 hours a week. You don't. It's okay. You don't have to work that much between all of your jobs and your volunteering and your schoolwork and stuff. Like, I was the queen of overdoing things, right? And so it has taken me to the pandemic, really, to stop, assess, reevaluate how I can be very intentional in achieving the same goals, but like without sacrificing my health, whether that's physical or mental health. we've talked about being an overdoer or an underdoer before. I really encourage you all to go check out that episode where we talked about, you know, are you somebody that when you're stressed, you're like, oh, I just have to do some more things, kind of like Chris was just sharing, right? I'll just do more and then I don't have to deal with it because I'm working on things and it makes me feel productive, but you're not feeling your emotions. You're just tamping them down. Or are you somebody that when you get very stressed, you go, I can't do it, and you kind of quit and roll over a little bit, but then you're stressed because you're not doing anything, right? So these are both really horrible spirals that you get caught in, where you're either you're just doing more and more and more until you collapse, or you're not doing very much, but you're stressing and stressing and stressing. And this can cause a similar like mental kind of collapse as well. And so both these patterns are very common. Like I fall into both of them at sometimes, right? Depending on what the situation is. But the first step is to recognize, oh, I am classic overdoing it right now. So how do I stop, pause, break the cycle, and then move forward, right? Really, really important. Some of the risks of not sleeping or not resting, impaired cognitive functioning, right? Where you're just not able to think as clearly, your memory doesn't work well. You're literally not able to learn as well. Like if you're a student, you need 8 to 10 hours of sleep. If you're a college student, into like 7 to 9 hours of sleep, you need that much sleep every night in order to function well. And I know most of you, if you're listening, are like, I'll get right on that. Well, I hear you. When I was a freshman in college, I lived on a lot of Mountain Dew and Pop-Tarts, and I did not get enough sleep. And I will tell you, it took saying sleep is probably the most important thing I can give myself. And it's true. Sleep is probably the most important thing that I can do for myself in order to switch that mindset. But it didn't really work for me until my senior year of undergrad, when I had enough time and energy and time management skills and like all of this, like got used to how do I ask for help in different areas, like from my grandma, from my friends, from my coworkers, from my teachers, from the tutoring services, like whatever I needed, that I was finally able to outsource some of the stuff that I needed so that I could focus on myself and get enough sleep. And then, like you said, I was more productive. I was a better student, all of those different things, right? Some of the other pieces of the risks of not enough sleep or reset, we talked about burning out our systems. Well, one of those, which is really interesting, is probably my favorite thing to talk about, is psychoneuroimmunology, which is the impact of our stress levels on the functioning of our brain, which impacts our immune system. So it's a double whammy. We have the cortisol, adrenaline, all this stuff burning out our systems, right? That's just happening. And that decreases our immune system. But then we have the second wave, which is our actions. So when we're really stressed, typically we don't eat a salad, get a lot of nice sleep, you know, go for a walk. We typically, you know, wrap ourselves up in blankets, eat Doritos, and avoid people, right? So not only do we have what the body's doing to us, we have our own actions because of our stress levels. And so it becomes like a double whammy onto our immune system. And it's just really fascinating to dig into that topic, like to really get into what's happening. But you have body inflammation, like your body is, you've got inflammation going on. You don't have good cell cleanup happening, like your used cells, dirty cells, like all the neurotransmitters and stuff, that's not happening as fast as it should be. And you are just much more likely to get sick. And so obviously during a pandemic, that's a huge concern for a lot of people. But also I went to an event, everybody was vaccinated with like, I can't remember, it was like 50 people or something. And I got a super nasty cold. I was so mad. First time I went anywhere, I got this huge nasty cold. And I was like so frustrated because one, somebody clearly wasn't following public safety guidelines, right? Like if you have the sniffles, stay home. Nobody wants it. But two, we've got the like, was I stressed that weekend? Yeah, absolutely. Because I was worried about being at a big event, right? And so did my stress play a part of that? Probably. So it's really, really interesting to dig into that. There's a lot of impacts of lack of sleep or rest on the system. I don't want to like monologue at you forever. But one of the really weird ones and kind of fascinating is that they found that people with not enough sleep actually lose morality, meaning they're more likely to engage in criminal activities. And they're more likely to favor like stricter punishments and like be very harsh against people. So they're not able to see the gray. They can only see black or white. And that's really interesting to see that impact across the board.
Wow, that's really fascinating. That's incredible. That's a lot of information. That's a lot of information. That's a lot of important details and important things that we need to know. Like the fact that it can even have an impact on whether you're going to commit a crime or not. I mean, that right there should inspire me to just start snoozing earlier. So just going to bed earlier. Because, you know, Julian, that's the thing. I think that, you know, we only get so many hours in the day, right? And when we are saying, okay, 8 to 10 hours of sleep, if I need to get up by 6, that means I need to be in bed by this specific time, right? Like, when you start measuring that way, you're like, oh my gosh, that's taking away so much time, productive time, right? So when am I going to go to the gym? When am I going to cook dinner? When am I going to have the conversation with the family? When am I going to do all of these other things that are also important that make me feel strong and that make me feel well? And in that list of things, we tend to leave sleep as the one that we can kind of like forego a little bit. But you're right. When we have a bad night, the next day doesn't go very, very well. So the word balance comes back to me, right? And it's really prevalent to me when we're thinking about our mental health and our physical health and vacation and taking breaks, right? So maybe some techniques, maybe some things that we can start doing. How can we start being maybe more mindful? You said earlier, you know, it's important to take breaks throughout the day to increase your productivity, but you really want that vacation time. So it's one day of vacation enough. Do we need to be striving for that long 2-week vacation period? And what should we be thinking when we're thinking about, okay, I'm going to give myself a day off, or I'm going to give myself this vacation? What are some key questions that we should be asking ourselves as we're making those decisions?
Yeah. So you definitely need breaks throughout the day, right? I mean, we're not robots. We can't just go. We've got to have that time to just breathe. One of the easiest ways to take a rest break is to just do deep breathing for like 30 seconds, is to really focus on your breath, because that helps reset your stress systems. There are so many apps and videos and stuff like you can find. Just Google it, right? Just Google breathing and you'll find something to help you out. I often use box breathing, which is really simple. You breathe in for 4, hold for 4, breathe out for 4, hold for 4, breathe in, right? So you just up, 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 go around the box, so to speak. So that's a pretty good one to use. And when I catch myself feeling stressed, frazzled, hurried, running behind, et cetera, I know that it's better for me to be 30 seconds late to whatever's going on and be grounded and more present than to just frazzle my way through the day. Because like you said, it really quickly kind of adds up. It just like snowballs. Like you're like, oh my gosh, I'm running behind. I should go to bed, but I really got to do the dishes. And, you know, I've got to fold this laundry or whatever, right? And so you're like, that'll take me 30 minutes, right? But you'd be surprised, even 30 minutes can really cut into your sleep time. Everybody has an average that they need to hit on a regular basis. So for instance, I know for me that I need 8 hours every day. And as an adult, I'm supposed to fall in the 7 to 9. So that makes perfect sense, right? I need 8. If I get below 7.5, I can feel the impact really quickly, because I have been prioritizing sleep for such a long time that now I'm like, oh, I did not get enough sleep, right? So ways to prioritize it. And I hear you, because I bet you there are a lot of people listening, you maybe even you going, yeah, that's nice, Julie. Real nice that you get 8 hours of sleep every night. And so the reality is you have to be able to let some stuff go, right? Our system, the world capitalism, is not designed for us to work 40 hours, maintain a home, maintain children, maintain social lives, maintain ourselves, right? It was always designed to have one income earner who did the 40 hours, and then like your support person, typically a stay-at-home wife, right? Who was then in charge of maintaining home and children, all that other stuff, right? Because we all typically work now. I know that there are, of course, stay-at-home parents, but on average, you typically have both folks working outside of the home, or when I say outside the home, both folks working. And it's a lot. My husband and I have been like navigating every couple of months. We have to reevaluate what's going on and what's working and what's not working, because my workload has been changing so much over the years. But I promise you that if I can work more than full-time, volunteer, and work on a PhD program and still get enough sleep, that you can get enough sleep. It's just about prioritizing sleep and dropping some other things, right? So one of the things that we started doing is that I would do some meal prep on Sunday or pick really easy meals to make during the week so that I didn't have to spend an hour cooking, right? That takes up a huge chunk of your time, right? So if you start working at 9 and then you're done at like 5:30 or maybe 6 or something, and then you're running into cooking, now it's already 7. And, you know, you're like, and then God forbid, you want to talk to the people that live in your house, right? You want to hang out with them or check in with them, right? I mean, even just cooking is such a big time suck. And I love cooking. I do. But like a lot of the times I'm frazzled. I'm like, I'm over it. I don't even want to make spaghetti, right? Which is an easy meal to make. So as much as you can like automate or delegate some of those tasks, or also just kind of give up a little bit. So like, and I say that lovingly, but some nights we just have like scrambled eggs or something, right? Really easy grilled cheese. Like you pick easier meals to make so that you can prioritize some of the other stuff that needs to get done, right? I use a schedule personally to keep myself on track. So like Monday is the day that I wash the sheets in our house. That I can do luckily in between meetings and stuff. I just pop them in and then, you know, move it along. You know, I've got to do the vacuuming on this day, all that kind of stuff. I try to break it out and make it in small chunks, obviously sharing with my husband, right? But like, we have to reevaluate this all the time because sometimes it's not working, right? Like I have not mopped our bathroom in months, in months, full honesty, right? And so is that something I absolutely need to do? Is it something that he could do? Yep. Is it something that's going to happen soon? Hopefully. Right. But also like, you know, in the scheme of things, does it matter so much if I manage to scrub every inch of my house? Does it matter so much if I have a PB&J for dinner? Does it matter? You know, these kind of things, really thinking about what is important, what's a priority. And so, like I said, it took me years and years and years to realize that nobody was going to give me like an award for doing the most stuff. Like nobody's going to sit there and be like, you know, Julie, wow, you are the best overdoer in the world. Let me give you a bunch of things. It's like, I'm so proud of you for not sleeping or taking care of yourself or going to the doctor. It's like all these things are really, that's not going to happen. Right. And so once you stop and think about that for a second, and again, this might sound ridiculous, but I'm talking to the overdoers out there. If you stop and think about it, like, why are you overdoing? What's going on? Are you avoiding feelings? Do you have some sort of something you're trying to make up for? Are you incorrectly coached into our weird capitalism stuff, right? Like, do you somehow think that you're supposed to be able to do it all? Because you're not. You're not, right? So how do we pause, rebel against the system, get enough sleep, right? And I still do a lot. I still volunteer. I still am part of causes that matter. I'm still working. Like I'm still doing what I need to, but I'm not doing it at the expense of my health. I'm not doing it at the expense of my sleep, not doing it at the expense of my rest. Use those vacation days. Those are part of your agreement with your job. Use them. Otherwise you're just losing money, right? And so use them or lose them for a lot of folks. But yeah, it's incredibly important for many different reasons to take that vacation, to prioritize yourself, because there isn't going to be an award for, you know, being a martyr.
Julie, we've been talking about, you know, with this idea, because we both fall in this category where we just want to pack our schedules and do so much, right? But let's look at the other, let's flip the coin, right? And there's also, again, we go back to this healthy balance of doing, taking breaks, and just living that way. But there's also this other tendency of just not doing, right? Let's talk about the impact of that. And let's talk about maybe some of the things that we should be considering if we are actually on the flip side of the coin. We're not doing. We're actually not doing. We're, I don't know, maybe in a constant vacation, maybe, I don't know, taking breaks all the time. Let's talk a little bit about that. You know, is that healthy for ourselves? Is that good? Is that something, should we aspire for that? Or are there things, or are there also flags that we should be looking at when we are falling in that category?
Yeah, great question. So I think the big thing is, are you doing what you need to do? You know, your obligations. We talked about disconnecting. So frequently folks that underdo, and again, I've fallen into this sometimes with some sorts of tasks, like I underdo on them, like house stuff. I tend to underdo on the house chores, right? And so if you are an underdoer, are you keeping yourself healthy? Are you keeping yourself safe? Are you keeping people, animals you're responsible for healthy and safe, right? Are you meeting deadlines for work or school or both? Are you seeing your friends, right? So if you're meeting kind of all your yeses, then, you know, maybe you have found that good, healthy balance and great. But if you find yourself, you know, and I have a couple of friends who do this, and it could be like a mental illness, like it could be symptoms of this, where like you go in their house and there's cups covering every single surface, right? Like they carry cups around, water bottles, like all that kind of stuff. But you know that this has taken weeks and weeks of, you know, not picking up food or not picking up dishes or like other things like that. This could be a health risk. So you want to really pay attention to some of those little things that kind of add up. Like if you're constantly missing deadlines at school or at work. And I don't mean like, you know, oh, I showed up to work a minute late. I mean, like, I didn't turn in my paper and I know that I should have, but I was like paralyzed. Like I couldn't start it. That's a big red flag, right? And so I just want to encourage you all to talk to professors because they're there to kind of help with that. But there are tons of supports at colleges all over, right? To help you build the skills of time management and reduce procrastination and stuff. We had a whole episode about procrastination. Procrastination is about emotional regulation. It's not time management. It's not that you're lazy. It's not that you can't do it. It's just that you are dreading doing the thing so much that you don't do it, but it actually makes it so much worse, right? So this is where having a schedule again can be very effective. An accountability partner. So I have a friend right now who was told by his doctor that he has to reduce his cholesterol, right? Because it's really, really high and they're going to have to do some like drastic medical interventions, right? If he doesn't get a handle on it. So he was taking like a month or 2 months or something to work on diet and exercise and all that good stuff, right? And he's like just beating himself up about it, but he's not exercising. So he's procrastinating exercising, right? And he's saying stuff like, you know, I'm being really bad. I'm not doing it. And so if you're getting that negative self-talk going on too, because, you know, some people love exercise and other people are like, no, thank you. That is not my jam, right? And so I was talking with him and, you know, again, most people know this, but if you don't, you have to start really small with goals that you can crush, right? And so I was like, walk for 2 minutes today. 2 minutes, you can do that. Just park like at the far end of the parking lot, you know? And he's like, I know what I need to do, but I need to be doing a 5K. And I'm like, great. You can't do a 5K right now. You have to start with 2 minutes of walking, like just walk for 2 minutes. Don't set this big lofty goal if I'm supposed to be up here and then you don't even start because it's so overwhelming. You got to start itty bitty. And then, you know, if you're walking for 2 minutes and you're like, oh, I've got a couple more minutes in me, great, do it. Once you get started, it's really easy to kind of keep going. The big thing is getting started, right? And so he can sit there all day long for weeks and months and go, I should be running 3 miles a day. Great. What have you done in the last 2 months? Except for beat yourself up, cause a lot of stress, right? Make things worse by doing the shoulda, coulda, woulda, done, you know, whatever, instead of just walking for a couple minutes a day. I was like, should you be running 3 miles a day? Probably, right? I mean, if you want to be really focused on your health and your strength and, you know, working on cholesterol, then yeah, you probably should be running for, you know, 20 minutes or something a day or whatever else you want to lift weight, whatever, right? But if you're doing nothing, then you got to start with 2 minutes. Like I have to get off my butt for 2 minutes and just walk, right? And so starting really small, if you find yourself paralyzed by big tasks, or if you're like, I can only do it this way, like here's how perfect people would do this situation, so I just won't even start. That's a really big red flag, right? That you're in the underdoer thing. And I will tell you, it's always better to make some progress than just sit there and do nothing.
Absolutely. And thank you for bringing that up, because on both ends, right? When you're overdoing, when you're underdoing, I think we always fall into that. idea of I should be doing more, right? Like overdoers, why do we do it? Because we should be doing more, right? And underdoers, like you said, and we both beat ourselves up because we're not reaching our expectations, right? Whether you're overdoing or underdoing, if you're not feeling satisfied, either or, that means that you're judging yourself and you know, guilty of that. I mean, as you were saying, Julie, you know, before earlier, as we were talking, you were saying you will just roll, you just will give yourself some time to sleep in, right? One day, and then you get up late. And I do this all the time. I'm really hard on myself. I'm like, but there's so much more that needed to be done and that we were going to do and that we said that, and I beat myself up and it trickles right down to my husband, to my kids, to everybody. And the whole day, just the whole day goes on and becomes gray and, you know, gloomy. It could be sunny out there, but not in our family. So learning and scheduling maybe, you know, and saying, okay, today I am going to sleep in and I'm going to forget about the laundry and I'm going to forget about, you know, whatever it is, right? And I'm not going to go to the gym this morning or whatever it is that, right? That's fine. Or I'm going to do my homework later today, right? I'm just going to allow myself to have that time in the morning for me because I need that rest, because I need that break. And then like Julie said earlier, you're going to have, you know, your brain's going to be better. You're going to feel better, more energized. You're going to be able to do things with a smile even, you know, just that smile. Maybe it's not going to get easier, but you're going to have a smile while you're doing it. Thank you, Julie, for bringing that up. And the importance of also, as you said just now, making sure that we're checking whether we're all overdoing or underdoing, right? That we're checking our yeses and they're different, right? When underdoing, we want to make sure that we're taking care of responsibilities. When we are overdoing, I'm going to say that you're taking care of your mental responsibilities, that those should be the yeses that you need to be checking off more than the to-dos on your physical list. Julie, we have only about 5 more minutes left here in our conversation this morning. Is there anything else that maybe we haven't talked about that you feel is really important when we're thinking about taking breaks, about taking vacations and taking care of ourselves, especially in the midst of COVID as we continue to, you know, deal with it and adjust as it continues to change? Anything that we should be really mindful about when we're thinking about our well-being and vacations and breaks?
Yeah. So this was something that just popped up recently. Somebody was like, oh, I'm so excited. I have a day off because I'm going to catch up on my house chores. That is not a vacation. That's not, that does not count. Okay. So if you take a vacation day to mop your bathroom floor, this is not a vacation, right? So make sure that when you're taking your vacation days, and yeah, maybe you do use some of your vacation days, especially if you have some of those extra or whatever, right? Maybe you do take some of that time, like I mentioned before, if you're doing a staycation, maybe the first half of your staycation day is to tackle the house stuff so that you can rest, relax, breathe, right? But it doesn't count if you're like, oh, this is my Saturday and this is the day I have off every week and I'm going to go pressure wash all of the outside, or, you know, I'm going to do 8 loads of laundry, or, you know, like that's not resting. You're still working. So to truly rest, to truly take that vacation, staycation, whatever, you need to disconnect from all of those obligations, right? And so some of that might be just in your head. I don't care about the laundry today. That's a tomorrow problem. I say that a lot. That's a tomorrow Julie problem. That's for her to worry about, right? Today, I'm going to, you know, rest and relax and disconnect. And so we can carve out those staycation things. Having more time is better for that, but you can still make it happen if you have half a day, right? So go find that cool restaurant, or, you know, if you've always wanted to pick your own apples or something like that, you know, you can carve out that time to go on that mini adventure and just really try to stay present, mindful, right? You're intentional about, this is my staycation. I'm going to pick the heck out of these apples and really enjoy it. And then I'm going to get an apple cider donut and I'm going to, you know, breathe in the not crisp fall air because it's still hot out. You know, I'm going to really like lean into this or whatever. Something I like to do And I don't know if you do this with your kids, Chris, and it's kind of maybe a little strange for somebody without kids to do, but I set like seasonal things that I like to do, and I make sure that I enjoy those for each season. So something I love to do is always get apple cider. I like to carve pumpkins, right? I like to watch the Harry Potter movies in the fall. I like to watch Hocus Pocus, right? Like, so I kind of have like this list of stuff that I like to do in the fall. I have a list of stuff I like to do in the winter. I have a list of stuff that I like to do in the spring. And so some of that is fun, because the traditions allow us to disconnect, like we know what to expect. And so it's fun to lean into some of those. I know some moms or parents make like summer to-do lists, right? So I wasn't sure if that's something you've ever done with your kids.
You know, I don't think that I've been intentional about it, but thinking back, I mean, there are things that I always try to do, but not, I don't think that I was seeing it that way. So yes. And so there are things that I try to accomplish in the different seasons, but not in the way that you just presented it. So maybe something to consider, maybe something to start, you know, putting out traditions and doing things like that. Julie, self-care send-off, you know, here just to wrap our conversation up. What's the one thing that you want everybody to keep in mind as we finish our conversation today?
Yeah, I'd say make a fall to-do list, like we were just talking about, a way that you can rest and relax. Think about some of the things that you really like doing in the fall, or, you know, it doesn't have to necessarily be going to an apple orchard or anything. It could be, I don't know, making s'mores for all I care, but, you know, make a couple of things to look forward to and be intentional about planning them. Disconnect from your responsibilities when you do it. It could be an hour, it could be 2 hours, 4 hours a day, a week, you know, whatever you've got, but just be very intentional about engaging in some of those fall traditions. I'm really looking forward to making apple cider donuts again. That was a lot of fun. I did that last year. I did a Zoom baking session. So I'm hoping that I can, you know, make some apple cider donuts with friends again, whether, you know, one of them in person or maybe on Zoom or something. But that's something I'm going to be doing on my fall to-do list. What would you like to share, Chris?
So for self-care send-off, I don't know why I have such a hard time saying it. Delegate. That's an idea that you brought up earlier in our conversation, you know, delegating things. And as we've been talking, I've been thinking, I have been already experiencing some of the benefits of that. And I can say that I feel a lot better and time, I have more time in my hands, you know, because some of the things that I felt like I needed to do and that I had to be in charge of, I've started to delegate. One thing about delegating is that, and you know, I have my standards and I like things to be in the way that I like things being done and getting done, right? So learning to let go of that has been a challenge when delegating, but the benefits of maybe not getting things done exactly as I would have thought or I would have liked to do them if I had done them, you know, versus, you know, having this time, having this just relax moment, it outweighs all of that. So try delegating. Maybe, you know, try delegating. If that's, I love the ideas that Julie gave us today, you know, simple dinner. So if you have children who are old enough to prepare grilled cheeses, you know, okay, everybody gets home after a busy day. All right, how about you go make us some grilled cheese for everybody while I go do whatever else it is that I need to do. Maybe the laundry, I don't know, whatever it is, because life is busy. I have kids too. I am a mom. You know, we're all in the running. And now that things are still reopened, you know, and that we are able to go out more driving, I forgot how much time it took just to get to one place to the other. Yeah. So maybe you're experiencing that. Maybe this transition back into school, into fall feels heavy for you. The more reason to take one day for yourself, to take a break, to take a vacation, to really give time to yourself to be well. Any last words, Julie, before we wrap our conversation up today?
Just that rest is essential. You got to do it. Eventually your body will force you or your brain will force you. It's way better to be on your own terms and preventative versus, you know, a potential big health issue or something. So carve it out. Even if it means working a little extra, carve it out. You've got it.
I love that. You've got it. So we believe in you and we believe in ourselves, Julie. You're going to find time to mop your floors. And I'm going to find time to do something, you know, and to just give myself rest and not feel guilty about it. Like that's what I need to work on, I think. So thank you everybody for listening. Thank you everybody for watching. I hope that you find value in this conversation. I hope that you find yourself, whether in the overdoers, the underdoers, and that you take a breath and start putting on your calendar, start being mindful about giving yourself some time so that you can be at the end more productive and still, you know, continue to do what you care about and what you want to do. And at the same time, take care of yourself. Share this information with everybody. And until next time, I am Cris Oviedo. And thank you for sharing this morning with me.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.